Boston Sports Syndicate.
What's going on, everybody? It's Matty D, a.k.a. Matty Keyroom, a.k.a. Matty Hoops, and you have tuned into the latest episode of Above the Parquet, and that is the Boston Sports Syndicate's basketball podcast, where we talk all NBA and obviously about our Boston Celtics. And there are some big NBA news in the headlines over the last couple of weeks. So I'm not here alone. Of course, I got my two boys, the two heavy hitters. I have the great Bloggino himself, Chris Henrique. What is going on, Chris?
Nothing. Ready to talk some basketball.
I mean, we talk a lot, and we talk about a bunch of different things, but tonight it's about basketball. And I got both of my boys, not just one. So we have the head Celtics writer who is going to give us his thoughts on all things NBA, Derek McVey. What's going on, Derek?
Not much. Hoping everything works out. We can finally get some basketball in the next month or so.
You know, it does sound like we will. And, you know, a couple of our listeners reached out to me, and they're like, listen, I understand why you guys talk about Blake Snell. We understood how it tied into everything, but we want to listen to a basketball podcast. You guys can't talk baseball. And you know what? You were heard, and today, no baseball, even though baseball is just killing us right now, we're going to talk all hoops, a.k.a. That's why Matty Hoops is here today. So let's just jump right in, shall we? The NBA and the Players Association agreed to a return, a comeback plan that we will see starting off this month, but really heating up next month in July. They agreed to 22 teams that will be going down to Orlando, and it passed pretty much unanimously. I guess the only organization that voted against the 22-team proposal was Portland. Now, did either of you guys want to jump in as to why they would have turn that down? I guess they wanted a 20-team field opposed to the 22. I don't know what really the difference is. Did you guys hear anything or have your opinions on why they would have voted it down?
I didn't. I knew they were the one team, and I saw, Damian Lillard has some pretty strong opinions on returning to play. And I saw CJ McCollum, say something on Twitter about it. But I didn't really understand their full reasoning for rejecting the plan. So I'm not too sure what their thoughts are.
Yeah, I don't know why exactly they would have. I mean, they would have cut off theoretically the two bottom West teams, because the West is, stacked more than the East is. And we'll get into, the breakdown of the teams in the return. But I think the two bottom teams would have been San Antonio and Phoenix.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe they just they feel threatened by them. I don't understand. Maybe they wanted just as little amount of personnel and players and teams in the Disney bubble. But I don't know. Chris, did you hear anything or see anything about this?
Yeah, I mean, at first when they said there was a team that, had voted no, my initial reaction was it was the Knicks. I mean, I think that's where everybody went to. And then when you found out it was the Trailblazers, they were more of a no, not so much because they want to play, but they believe that there was more competitive and other innovative formats on the table. And that was according to Adrian Wojnarowski. So they just weren't a fan of the format that ultimately got voted in. They were more in favor of some other plans that potentially could have been laid out for the teams. And that's why they had voted no.
See, and that's why we make a great team, because two of us weren't really sure what was going on, and then Chris, you came with the facts and backed us up, and now we know why, because there was other stuff on the table.
Woj bomb.
All right, so you're the great Bloggino and the Henrik bomb? That doesn't sound good. The Chris bomb? What do you want to do? What do you want to call it?
I don't know. I haven't broke any news, though, so we'll have to wait.
That's true. Well, you broke news to me right here, right now. So you got that under your belt. And we talked about it real quick about where the games will be held. Actually, Disney will be hosting the players and the teams and the personnel when the season kicks off. So I'm actually just going to dive right in and just spit out a bunch of stuff. So if you haven't, you know, heard this, if you're living under a rock and you don't know the plan of the NBA, tune in, you know, make sure you're listening real closely here, because I'm just going to go through it and then we're going to dive right in on our opinions and what we think and all that good stuff. So the format is going to be that all teams will play 8 games for seeding purposes. And if the 8th seed and the 9th seed are within 4 games, they will actually have a play-in game, like a qualifier, if you will, to be anointed the 8th seed as they jump into the playoffs. The schedule came out, and it's pretty clear. It's pretty concise. I think they did a pretty good job laying it out for the fans to see. Started on June 15th, because we are past that date, international players had to come home to their markets. June 21st, the players will report. June 22nd is right when the coronavirus testing will begin, and the NBA has stated that they will test players and personnel every other day. So they will theoretically get their test results in within a few hours to a day, and then right after they get that result, they will play and they will do another test following that. And then on June 30th, you get the beginning of training camps. July 7th, everyone will be arriving in Orlando. July 30th, we'll begin the restarted season, so that 8 games for seeding will start on July 30th, which was actually a day earlier than the initial proposal, which had them at July 31st. So then the play-in tournament, which would be that 8 or 9 seed if needed, would occur on August 15th, 16th. The 17th will begin the playoffs. The playoffs will run through all the way until October 12th. October 12th would be game 7 of the finals if necessary. And this is what I thought they did such a good job. The NBA executives and the owners did such a good job. They even have dates for the 2020-2021 season. You can look that up if you're interested. They have those already online. They did a fantastic job. So I've just talked for probably too long saying a whole bunch of stuff, but I want to know what you guys think. Like, what are your overall thoughts on the plan, you know, what the teams are going to do, the restart, like anything and everything. I want to dive right into it. Chris, let's start with you.
I mean, I'm just happy that, you know, here's a league that has it together. You know, they're ready to start. They got a plan. They're ready to start to play basketball. It seems like they've been organized from the beginning. They seem like they've been on the same page from the beginning. You don't really have much. I mean, well, obviously we'll probably get into a little bit later on, but, you know, it seems that the players are on the same page. There's a plan, you know, there's not a different plan every week. There's an actual plan. There's a timeline, there's a schedule. And, you know, for a fan standpoint, you know, it's good to see that you can kind of begin to plan on your end. You know, the whole like tournament, the 22 teams and how they're going to do all this, you know, that obviously is a little, you know, quirky and different, you know, because we're accustomed to seeing, you know, the 8 best in the East, the 8 best in the West. But, you know, for just 1 year and you're doing something different and had to come up with something on the fly and you made it work or potentially could make it work, I think it's exciting. I think that another sport should take a look at this and be like, huh, this is how you get things done.
Yeah, they did a phenomenal job. Now, Derek, what do you think about the rollout in the 22-team format, the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Chris in just saying that it seems like a very well-thought-out process. I mean, it's another check mark for Adam Silver, and just he's been probably the best commissioner of the 4 major sports. I mean, he's been awesome, you know, ever since he took over for David Stern. Really seems to be in touch with his players and know what they want. So it was nice to see a pretty smooth negotiation for the most part. Looking forward to finally getting some sports back. It will definitely be interesting. I think the weirdest part will be watching games, like meaningful, quote unquote, meaningful games with no fans. I don't know if that will kind of like taint things in the end. You know, they're going to crown an NBA champion. But when you look back at this season, and you say, oh, yeah, you know, they won the – so-and-so won the championship, but, you know, they won it in – you know, didn't have to play in front of any fans. It was kind of a quirky thing. So I think that'll all be interesting to see how it plays out, but it's just nice to know that it will actually play itself out.
We have had some sports comeback with no crowds, obviously. What do you guys think about that? You know, that was a good point you brought up, Derek. Like, this will be our first look at one of the four major sports without crowds. Do you think it'll be okay? What do you guys think that, you know, the other sports have shown? Like, anything. Like, what do you think about no crowds?
It's going to be weird. And, like, especially for basketball, where, like, the crowd can influence the game so much. Like, I've watched some UFC fights, and I know there's been, like, baseball and some soccer matches with no fans. But, you know, a lot of those sports, like, the fans don't have too much of an impact on the game. I mean, the NBA, especially in the playoffs, like, the fans are huge, and they can sway things and influence the game so much. So it'll be interesting to see, but it'll definitely be weird.
That's a great point. I mean, both teams will be shooting foul shots in complete silence. And usually the away team has to deal with the abuse of the crowd behind the hoop, standing up, screaming, holding up signs of your face, you know, yelling a bunch of things. I've seen green man suits, all these distractions. I guess that'll probably a lot of players will like that. And I haven't really had a problem with no fans in the other sports. Even in the, like, KBO, Matty Kiwoom, it's kind of cool. I like baseball when it's quiet because you hear the crack of the bat and the pounding of the glove and all that stuff. And I'm not going to get into baseball, guys. Don't worry. I'm not going to do it. But this past weekend, golf started, and I loved the no crowds. Seeing the course in its entirety, not being blocked off by grandstands and signage and people following the players, I thought that was pretty cool. But, and, you know, after you mentioned it, Derek, I think out of all the major sports, basketball would be the most affected by no crowds. But whatever. We'll have sports. I'm excited. You guys sound excited as well. You know, if you're a Hoops fan or just a sports fan in general, this is great, great news. But I just want to talk real quick about, you know, the way this all came about. You didn't hear griping on either side. Neither the players nor the owners dug their heels in and negotiated in bad faith. And I think what it showed was tremendous compromise. I mean, the amount of games for seedings, there was never a squabble about that. The amount of teams, there was only one franchise that we just talked about that were against it, and they had their own reasons. Thank you for that, Chris. And I just think that this was just such a beacon of I don't know what I'm saying here. It really highlighted how good of a commissioner they have and how well they work with their players. And I just think that they did a great job getting us some basketball and bringing it out for the fans and for sports people who desperately need some sort of, you know, some live sports we're not really getting and we haven't had since March. I think it was a great job. I also thought it was cool how they extended certain teams because it was clear that they wanted some of their young superstars to be in this tournament. Just by adding the additional teams on the West, you're going to see Zion Williamson, you're going to see DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, Lonzo Ball. You're going to get all these young guys on top of, you know, the Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis combo from Dallas and the John Morant, Brandon Wright combo in Memphis. It's just, I think they did a great job rolling everything out. And, you know, I'm happy for it. And I was going to ask you guys, are you excited? But I'm pretty sure you are excited. It sounds like you're ready for some hoops.
Ready for something. I mean, I think what's good about it is that really from the get-go, there was no issue in regards to compensation for the players. Yeah, you know, really, that really wasn't a topic of conversation. I think it's why it went so smoothly. You know, there really wasn't a concern about whether, you know, sides are going to have to be dramatically reduced to play or anything like that. So I think that obviously helped. But no, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how it all plays out and if the NBA is going to maybe alter themselves in the future. You know, are they going to change, you know, more of their game or, you know, to cater around something like this or if they'll go back to a traditional season. But to kind of go back to your point, it's incredibly smart that you're going to market your future stars in a time frame where coming right out of no sports, Like, it's genius. And I mean, we talked about it on our last podcast for a sport that will not be possibly played this summer. And we talked about how baseball doesn't market their players. Well, here's what the NBA is going to do. They're throwing their best players at us when baseball is not going to be played. And it's going to further their sport. And I just think it's genius. And it's, I see nothing but upside.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, they did benefit from having, you know, 80% of their games already played. So the players already made, you know, a real chunk of their game checks. So money wasn't necessarily the biggest issue on the table. But, I mean, right away you heard about the Zoom call where all the prominent superstars got together and they were all on the same page. They wanted basketball. They wanted to return in 2020. They didn't want to end it, you know, abruptly due to the coronavirus. So, you know, I tip my hat to them, and I just think it was a great – it just really showed how, you know, what kind of class that the NBA is in and why they're probably, aside from football, the number one sport in America. So, you know, kudos to them. I do want to get into another topic pertaining to this reopening. So this was in the show notes, so you guys should be prepared. So, Derek, what teams do you think will benefit from the Disney bubble?
Yeah, that's – I was trying to come up with some. It's such a tough question because, like, you take that variable of the crowd out of it, and now it really comes down to talent, right? It's like who's going to have the most talented players on the floor. I think one – just generally, I think younger teams are going to benefit. I think that the younger players are going to have an easier time, you know, after this long layoff, being able to, like, get back in shape or, you know, get back into basketball shape and condition themselves and, you know, just get back up and running as opposed to some of the older teams. So I think the Celtics can benefit because they've got a lot of young guys. I think a team like Philadelphia, who's, you know, underachieved this year, they've been kind of the talk, you know, they've kind of like the Celtics were last year, had all this talent coming in and just really haven't put it all together. But now they get to, you know, they get away from their market. They're in their, you know, this bubble down in Disney. And they're away from all this noise and distractions, you know, no crowd. They can just go out and play basketball. That could be a blessing for them.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense. But do you think that, you know, some of the older players, because I actually have a different view on the youth aspect of teams, which I'll get into in a minute, because I think some of the older guys having this chance to recoup is unprecedented. Usually they get, you know, their scheduled rest days and they get their automatic days off that they've had scheduled for weeks. Now they've had 2 months off. 2 months? Am I shortchanging that? Is it longer?
That feels and like I'm, years.
It feels like, yeah, it feels like they've been off for 6 years. But yeah, I think, you know, the older guys can also benefit from this. Now, who do you think ultimately benefits from this, Chris?
So, I think that, you know, obviously talent is going to triumph everything, and it seems to be that way in the NBA. But I look at a team like the Indiana Pacers. You know, Victor Oladipo, he missed, what was it, like, the majority of the season with the ruptured quad tendon.
Yeah, he was just getting back on the court recently before the stoppage.
Exactly. So you're going to get him back. With the Pacers still have Malcolm Brogdon. Jerry Lamb is hurt, so they can potentially get they could sign somebody to bring in. But the Pacers are a young team. That's a team that I think could be tough. I think it could be a difficult matchup for the other team that I think could benefit, and that is the Boston Celtics. I think that the Celtics had an opportunity with this time off to get Kemba Walker potentially right, you know, with
his knee. That could be huge.
Gordon Hayward seemed to have some sort of ailment every other day. So hopefully the last couple of months he was able to kind of rest up, you know, his whole body. He's looked good though. I mean, in some of the highlights of him shooting and stuff in the court, just doing drain threes, things like that. I mean, he's looked pretty good. Guys like Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown. I mean, I feel like those guys are gonna show up. But I think the real wild card in the whole Celtics piece is gonna be Tatum. I think Tatum is And I'm not saying it as a bad thing, you know, and I'm not going to rag on him because he didn't have a hoop and, you know, couldn't figure out how to get a hoop during the pandemic until someone got him a basketball hoop so he can shoot a basketball. But I think if Tatum can rise to that next level, which I think he was on the cusp of doing before the time off, I think the Celtics could be that ultimate. I think they're the team to represent the East or whatever bracket of the tournament that they're going to have.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Celtics definitely benefited from the rest. It also helps them that they're in this Disney bubble because some of their biggest challenges was going to be winning on the road in Toronto, winning on the road in Milwaukee. And now they're not going to have to do that. They're not going to have to go against, you know, the nasty fans of Philadelphia. Sorry, Philadelphia 76 fans. But you know you're nasty. So I think that's good for them. I think that's real good.
The whole fan base is nasty. The whole yes. Philadelphia fan base, from the Eagles fans to Phillies fans, I respect it. I just
nasty. And in fairness, they'd probably say the same about us, Boston fans.
Oh, I mean,
I don't know. I don't remember anyone ever throwing batteries at Santa Claus in Boston.
I was just gonna say that though. At least we don't throw batteries at old Saint Nick.
When's the last time that an NFL player, you know, potentially had a career ending, which ended for Michael Irvin? Remember, he had that career ending neck injury, yep. And he got booed off the field. Like, I don't care, you know, what you feel about a player. Like, the dude could have, you know, could have been paralyzed and you're booing him off the field. That doesn't happen around here.
No, definitely not. Another team, to get back on track here, because you know we're going to go off the rails. It's only a matter of time, but let's stay on the rails for a second here. Another team that I actually think benefits from this is a team that's not even going to Orlando. I think the Golden State Warriors are going to be tremendous beneficiaries here. They don't have to travel now. They can just rest up their hurt stars. They don't have to worry about, you know, the publicity. They're doing the interviews, and basically they've had now they'll have a double offseason. The next time they'll play will be in December 1st of 2020. So March to December, that's pretty good. And I just think on top of the Celtics, the Warriors are a team that definitely benefits from this. Now, on the opposite side of that coin, which teams do you think will hurt from there being this Disney bubble? Chris, let's start with you this time.
Well, I mean, I'm excited to see what the Pelicans could probably do. I don't know. I think this is they're too young. I don't know. I just don't see them as being able to kind of put it together. Again, I think that the teams that have that talent to win, like, I don't see the Bucks as having an issue. You know, I think the one thing that could potentially derail a team is whether certain stars take a stance on not going down to Orlando and playing. You know, and I think it could be, you know, any number of these teams. I don't really see anybody as, you know, looking at it right now where they're like, wow, you know, they're in trouble for having a layoff. I think that, you know, all this extra time off is going to benefit all of these guys. I think these guys it's going to be like second nature when they get back on the court. You know, so I just, to me, ultimately, I think the biggest wild card is going to be is if a star or multiple stars say, hey, we're not going to play in the bubble because of, you know, what Kyrie was talking about. And that's where I think it's going to affect certain teams. And then you can say, okay, hey, watch out now. This team is, you know, you can't consider them because player A isn't playing.
And we're going to dive into, you know, the Kyrie stuff and kind of his sentiment later on. But, you know, I think that's a good point, Chris. Like, it's tough to find which team would, quote unquote, be hurt from this bubble because the rest is good for everybody. You know, the recovery is good for everybody. Everyone's on the same page in terms of not playing and not being in competitive games. But I do think that there's one team out of the 22 that clearly got hurt from this. And I'm going to save mine. I'm going to let Derek, you go first. What teams do you think were hurt from the Disney bubble?
See, I'm kind of in the same camp as Chris where it's tough to single out a team, especially because, like, this – it's so unprecedented. We just don't know what to expect, like what level of basketball is going to be played because the variable of the crowd and the fans, you know, so many players like feed off that crowd energy. So it's tough to know, like, who's going to respond well, whose game's going to suffer, you know, without fans. So it's tough to pinpoint just one team.
Now, one of you guys, I'm not going to say who, did write an article about a particular player that could benefit from the bubble. Do you care to elaborate on that, mystery man?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it was Derek. Yeah.
Just going to say, it was Derek.
Might have been a little bit of a reach or a stretch, but hey, just looking for stuff to write about right now.
No, but I think you made good points in there, but I'll let you talk about it.
Yeah, so I mean, just talking Celtics specific, I was looking at a guy like Carson Edwards, who is primarily a shooter, especially coming out of college, is primarily a shooter, and that's what the Celtics were hoping he would bring to the table. And in summer league, when there's, you know, minimal crowds, and in the preseason, where crowds aren't nearly what they are in, you know, regular season, he performed well. He shot extremely well. And then the regular season started, games started to count. And for whatever reason, he just fell into a slump. And he's been bouncing back and forth between the G League and the Celtics all season long. He's been struggling to find his, you know, stroke and his shooting touch. So what better way to rediscover that touch than in what essentially is going to be an empty gym, which could be him, you know, him in the basket.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what's kind of, I found kind of funny about him specifically was he was so clutch at Purdue in the NCAA tournament. And you're right. I mean, it was like he was great in the summer league. He was great in the preseason. And then once, you know, the lights are on, it felt like he kind of tightened up a bit, which I thought it was one of the questions I've had all year long, because I thought this guy was going to be kind of like a rise. Like he was going to rise to the occasion and really perform when the lights were brightest. But yeah, I mean, if anyone in the Celtics benefits from this, I'm on board, because I don't care. I want the Celtics to win. But you guys both missed one team that I just think is going to be hurt from no crowd, and that is the Toronto Raptors. Because in my opinion, they lack some of the star power that other teams have, and they really feed off their crowd, maybe more than any other team in the league. Having to go up north to Toronto, it's not like no one else has that advantage in basketball. Leaving the country, that whole thing, having to go through customs, which, you know, Canadian customs are pretty delicate, so it's nothing harsh there. But still, I just think that the Raptors always, you know, we saw that last year in the finals and throughout the whole playoffs. In general, their crowd really just pumps them up and gets them playing at the highest of levels. And without that crowd, you know, I don't know if they're going to be able to really compete with the other teams, because they don't have that star power. They don't have Kawhi anymore. They don't have Leonard. So they're going to be relying on Siakam and Lowry to give them some real heavy minutes. And I just don't know if that's going to be enough, considering the teams that they're going to have to play. So we've talked about some of the teams that might benefit, some of the teams that might be hurt from the isolation, but now I want to jump in to some favorites and sleepers who could win the whole thing. But before we do that, I want to ask you guys a quick question that is not in the show notes, because you know I like to put you on the hot seat, because I like to show the fans how good you guys are and how well you can think on your feet. The winner of the 2020 NBA Finals, will they or will they not have an asterisk next to their name, in your opinion?
No.
Elaborate. Can't elaborate, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the teams or the players' fault that the season had to stop. It was stopped because, you know, there's a global pandemic going on with COVID, and I don't think that's a reason to go ahead and, you know, poo-poo on a team's championship. You know what I mean? Like if the season was stopped for, you know, say, I can't really think of a reason why, you know, a league would stop play other than potentially this. No, I don't think that's the case, because, again, they've done everything right from the rip to get back, to get a really good plan in place. They secured a location. And now, you know, let's say like a team like, say, the Celtics or the Lakers or the Bucks or whoever, they go on and they win the NBA championship, I'm still going to feel the same way. I'm going to be excited, you know, if the Celtics were to win, it's a local team. You know, I mean, I'm going to be happy for that. And I think that's how people are going to feel. I mean, if you want to throw an asterisk on there to say, well, you know, it wasn't a traditional season, that's your prerogative. But in my opinion, there's been nothing traditional about 2020 really ever since, you know, I think pretty much from the rip when the year started. So I don't know. I think if we put an asterisk on it, you put asterisks on like the home run chase, we know those dudes doing steroids, like I keep going to baseball. You put an asterisk on that. You don't put an asterisk on
fight it, Chris. Fight the baseball.
Because the season stopped because, you know, millions of people were coming down with the coronavirus. So I don't know. I just, to me, it's valid. You won a championship. You're going to hold the trophy. You're going to celebrate. You're going to drink. You're going to, I guess, not have a parade, but whatever.
No. Wait, are you saying I'm going to drink? Because I will.
Oh, no.
I'll do it.
Well, I mean, I don't need a championship to want to do that, but, you know. But, no, I don't know. No asterisks for me. I'm a non-asterisk on this.
Ooh, I like that. I'm a non-asterisk guy. Derek, are you an asterisk guy?
No, I wouldn't say there would be an asterisk. I think, though, there will be people that, you know, will think back to this season and it'll be in the back of their mind. Like, yeah, they won the title, but, you know, there'll always be that. But it's like, but it was in, you know, a bubble where, you know, there was no crowd. They didn't have to travel, and, you know, all of that. So, I mean, it's a unique situation. I think to Chris's point, you know, if they had like come back to, you know, return to play and they're like, all right, we're going to take the top four teams in each conference. All right. Then maybe since they're like adjusting the playoff format so significantly and they're eliminating teams, then maybe you could consider putting an asterisk on it. But I mean, the same number of teams are going to be in the playoffs that are, you know, each year. It'll just look and feel a little different. But I mean, whoever wins the, you know, the championship this year will have earned it.
You know who would want the asterisk? Hockey guys. If the Boston Bruins don't win the Stanley Cup, they're the ones. I'm not saying our podcast guys. I'm saying hockey fans in general. They're the ones that are going to say, oh, asterisks, this doesn't count. Bruins are the best record. That's who I think would want an asterisk.
Do you think some of those, there are similar fans in basketball that may echo the same sentiment, you know, if their team doesn't win? Philadelphia. Well, what? Did I say that out loud?
I don't look at Philadelphia as being a serious contender. I think the Celtics have their number, and if they play the Seas, I don't see that as a overall challenge. But no, I don't know. I think I just from hearing like and reading a lot about the hockey piece, you know, I could see that being where like, oh, we got to throw an asterisk on there because the Bruins didn't, you know, advance to the Stanley Cup Finals, you know, whatever it is. So I can see it in that respect.
You know who will put asterisks on it? It'll be LeBron haters and LeBron lovers. If LeBron doesn't win the title, then, you know, his supporters will be like, well, it doesn't matter. You know, this wasn't a regular season. If he does win a title, people that hate LeBron are going to be like, well, it doesn't count because, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Especially if he does defeat, like, let's say the Indiana Pacers in the finals.
Right.
A team that wasn't on a collision course with the Lakers that maybe caught a break from this whole thing. Yeah, I completely agree with you. Now, I think there has been a talking point that's kind of made its rounds that an asterisk could be fluid based on the team who wins. You know, if the Lakers win, no one's going to put an asterisk on it. But some people had said the Brooklyn Nets could have an asterisk because they weren't supposed to have Durant and they weren't supposed to have Irving, and now they could. But, you know, those have been – Those concerns have been put to bed. And I think overall, actually, I want to say overall two things that the NBA did so good in, and they killed it in this rollout plan. First of all, and Chris, you made me, when you were talking, this is what sparked this in my head. They actually had players test positive, and they're going to be the first major sport back. That's incredible to me. That's incredible to me. But on top of that, I think that the way that they rolled out this 22-team return, it almost negates the asterisk because no teams got in that quote-unquote shouldn't have because they have to play these eight games to see who gets in. And even if a team like the Phoenix Suns, who are the 13th seed currently in the West – get into the playoffs, they would have theoretically earned it because they would have done well in those eight games. And in the East, they only allowed one team outside of the current playoff picture, which is the Washington Wizards, to come into the to go down to Orlando and compete for it. So I just think the NBA, whether they were conscious of it or not, did a great job eliminating the Astros talk, because no teams will be in the playoffs that quote unquote shouldn't have been. They're going to allow them to play for seeding. They're going to allow, you know, some a few of the teams to compete to try to get in. And I just think they did a great job in eliminating all of those concerns that some of the fans, some fans may have had. But enough about that. Let's get into our favorites and our sleepers. Who wants to go first on their favorites in the East? Anybody? Who wants to do it? Step right up.
I think the Bucks have to be the favorite. I mean, I think that they're the most overall talented team. They have the best player. You know, I know you're kind of down on Toronto. I'm not down on Toronto. I think Toronto, I think that they're going to be fully healthy. And I think that they're going to be a team that is going to give, that could give the C's or even like I was mentioned before, the Pacers. I think that they could push them a little bit. I think it's going to matter of like what, you know, seeding that they get. But I think that Brooklyn shouldn't be in the conversation. I mean, Durant's already said he's not going to play. Kyrie doesn't want to play. Kyrie doesn't know what he wants to do. You know, I think the Heat could be a sleeper team as well. But, you know, for me, and I'm not going to be a homer here, but I really think that the Celtics, I think that they, besides the Bucks, I think that they're the team that's going to come out from the East and represent in the NBA Finals.
Ooh, I love hearing that. You know me, I'm Mr. Positivity. And I love hearing that.
You know, you got to be positive about something. I mean, there's so much negative right now, you know. So I positively think the Boston Celtics, not a sleeper team. I think that they have a raw. I mean, again, we talked about a couple of podcasts ago, you know, do they potentially not have a bench deep enough to handle a Milwaukee Bucks team? At the time, you know, you had guys that are beat up. We talked about some of those players. But now everything's equal. Guys are healthy. You had plenty of time off. The key, again, is Tatum. I would say the health of Gordon Hayward. I think that Marcus Smart can defend Giannis. I think the Celtics are, for me, are the choice. Celtics and Bucks are going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Derek, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the Celtics. I mean, we haven't seen this team fully healthy, you know, playing together very much at all during the, you know, the regular season. They had a handful of games where everyone was on the floor. And when you have that starting five healthy, then that improves your bench because a guy like Marcus Smart is coming off the bench and now your second unit's, you know, that much better. I mean, obviously Milwaukee's the most talented team in the conference. They have the best player in the conference. So they are, you know, towards the top in terms of favorites. I think where it helps the Celtics is a second round series with Toronto, you know, under normal circumstances where they don't have home court. You know, Matt, you talked about it, how awesome Toronto is at home. But now they won't have that advantage. So I think the Celtics are a more talented team. So that kind of helps them in a second round matchup with Toronto. One team that I think people should watch out for, and Chris mentioned them a little earlier, are the Pacers, because they got their best player back. You know, they were a playoff team last year and a playoff team the past few years. They've given some teams some issues. They play good defense. They've got Malcolm Brogdon, who, you know, a great point guard, great two-way point guard, Oladipo, and then Miles Turner and Sabonis down low. So they could give teams some trouble.
So would the Pacers be your sleeper to win the East?
Yeah, I'd say they are a good sleeper. I mean, you know, they're a five seed right now. But they're only a couple games, you know, behind the Heat for the four seed. So, I mean, not a super sleeper, a talented team, but, yeah, a team that probably would shock some people if they came out of the East.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to break the fourth wall real quick. That's called a segue. So now Maddie Keyboom, a.k.a. Maddie Segue, is in the building. Chris, what are some of your sleepers that could win the East?
I like the Pacers. It's a young core, you know, they could be they could be a year too early. I think they got good chemistry. You're getting Oladipo back. So I think that, you know, they could be a sleeper. I just don't think that they ultimately have enough to get past the Bucks or even the Celtics. I think they would play the Celtics very tough in a 7-game series. Maybe the Heat, but I think ultimately for me, it's the Pacers. I just, they were playing really well. They were just starting to click. Like Derek said, you're getting your best player back. I have no love for the 76ers. I just don't know. They haven't done anything when it's counted in the playoffs for me to be like, yeah, we got to take them seriously. They're all hype. It's an all hype team. So I'd say Pacers.
Real quick, I just want to throw – I'm not going to really dive into my favorites and sleepers because I think you guys covered pretty much all the teams that I was going to say anyway. I did actually have the Sixers, though, as a sleeper. I just think they're super talented, and they won't have any of the home court debacles, and they're not necessarily mentally strong, and they've shown that in the past. But in a sprint like they're going to have, anything can happen, and I think they are very talented. But I do want to say one quick thing. About the Celtics and why I think that they are one of my favorites is that actually their 8-game schedule is pretty favorable. They play the Bucks, the Wizards, the Raptors, the Nets, the Wizards, the Blazers, the Grizzlies, and the Heat. And out of those 8 games, I think 3, maybe 4 will be difficult, depending on how you view the Blazers. But I think there's 2 easy wins against the Wizards, an easy win against the Nets. I think they can handle the Grizzlies without an issue. And their toughest opponent, the Bucks, they play them first. And then I just feel like in a game like that, all previous stuff can go out the window. It's really just going to be a coin flip. And a team as talented as the Celtics, they can win that game. And if they do win that game, you could see them rattle off 6 wins out of the 8. And I think that'll only propel them up in the standings and just help that with their seeding and give them a favorable matchup when the playoffs do start. And we talked about it on a previous episode, if seeding really mattered, and we were kind of indifferent. You guys kind of were that it wasn't really a big deal because you were not a big fan of the Sixers and not really worried about them. And I kind of was. But if you want to hear that, go in the archive. You can go listen to old episodes. We kill it every episode. We're always good. So it's not like you're going to worry. Just go listen to it. That's the East. Let's dive right into the West. Chris, who are your favorites to win the West?
I think any team that has LeBron James on it has to be considered a favorite.
LeBron James, the Lakers. Is he good? Is LeBron James good?
I don't know. I've heard he can knock down a bucket or two. I think that the Lakers. But I think the team that will represent the West is going to be the Clippers. I think it's the other LA team. I think the Clippers have, I think they got more to prove. I think there's going to be, there's already some dissension with the Lakers right now between, again, are they going to play? You got LeBron who wants to play. You got Dwight Howard in the camp of not potentially wanting to play. Same team going on right there. Bradley, who's part of, the piece of the Players Association, things like that. So, can LeBron put it together with his team? Yeah, I think it's the Clippers. I think the Pelicans will be a fun team to watch. I just think they're too young. I always like the Spurs, because of Popovich, but I think it's the Clippers. I think the Clippers are the team that's going to come out.
What about you, Derek? Who are your favorites out of the West?
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers and Clippers obviously are the two best teams in the West. But I'm going to – I'll give you a sleeper team right now, and that's the Houston Rockets. I think the Rockets are a perfect team. They are perfect for this type of setting where it's it's an open gym. I mean, they kind of play not pickup basketball, but like a glorified version, up and down the court, take a shot, 2 seconds into the shot clock with guys like Harden and Westbrook there. Sprinting up and down the floor, trying to get as many possessions as possible. I feel like that type of basketball could be conducive to the type of setting they're going to be in. And they've been, one of the better teams in like the second half of the season before everything, went to hell. So I think they're a team to watch out.
Yeah, I'm not really going to I agree with you guys. You guys have, again, named the teams. I think the Lakers and the Clippers are my two favorites in the West. And as far as sleepers, I don't really have one because I just think getting past LeBron James, getting past Kawhi Leonard is too tall of an order for most of these teams. They're going to, I mean, they check all the boxes. They're great. They're great leaders. They're mentally strong. They've been there before. I don't think the distraction of a Disney bubble and, you know, the craziness and kind of the uniqueness of this remainder of the season will affect them much. So I think you're going to have a, you know, it's funny. The two teams that share a stadium in L.A. are probably going to be the team that share the Western Conference Final Court in Orlando. And that made me think. That would have been great for both teams if they were just home. They didn't have to go anywhere. It would have been the least amount of travel for a conference final probably ever, right?
Yeah, and they still would have had, you know, 3 days in between games or whatever they do in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, they would, right. If the NBA went as without a hitch and everything was, you know, copacetic and going as normal, they would have 3 days to just stay in LA. So good for them. So we've covered our favorites. We've covered our sleepers. I just want to talk a little Celtics specific. We've talked we've covered that for the most part, but I just want to get any last minute Celtics thoughts going into the remainder of the season. Do either of you guys have any thoughts on certain players you may have seen in this downtime? Any certain thoughts on matchups, or have we covered it all?
No, I mean, Chris talked about Tatum being the wild card, and that's definitely a guy I'm interested in watching. We saw him a couple of years ago kind of burst onto the scene in the playoffs, you know, when Kyrie and Hayward were out. And then last year he was kind of inconsistent in the postseason because, you know, Kyrie was back and he wasn't getting as many touches. But we saw him really after the All-Star break this year really start to come into his own, and it felt like the team was becoming his. So to see him take that next step and do it in the playoffs, something I'm looking forward to. And also with these expanded rosters, maybe we can get a little taco time in the postseason.
I have seen a lot of Taco Fall on Twitter, working on his outside game, working on his defense. I mean, if he can give them quality minutes and real hard, gritty minutes, he could be an absolute game changer for them. I mean, talk about a guy who can plug the post. What is he? He's a short guy, right? This guy, this Taco Fall, right? He's very short.
Yeah, like 5'6".
Just right, a hair over 5 feet.
Yeah, exactly. Just a hair. Just a tiny bit over 5 feet. All right, so I think we've covered pretty much the rollout, the return, who we think are going to win, and, you know, different aspects of the Disney bubble. But now I want to talk about something else that's all in the headlines now, NBA related. Kyrie Irving is leading a player charge to not go down to Orlando and not play. And he has his reasons. The one that I've seen ring true throughout all of his statements is basically, I'm not quoting him, I'm just kind of paraphrasing what I've read, is that basketball would be a distraction for some of the bigger issues that, you know, our country's dealing with now. And I just want to get your guys' general thoughts on Kyrie, on what his sentiment, you know, is, how you feel about it. We don't have to get into the political stuff because I think we've all kind of made it known that we're an escape and we want to talk sports, and we don't necessarily want to dive in to some of the more polarizing headlines in our nation right now. But Kyrie Irving in him leading this charge, who wants to start it? Oh, it's Kyrie. Tricky. It is tricky.
No, so yeah, it is, because honestly, you know, with the agenda coming out, and even before Kyrie got thrown on there, you know, you had had, you know, the rumblings of this is kind of going on, and thinking about, like, okay, what's the right way to kind of, you know, peel back this this topic here and kind of look at it from a different lens. Because honestly, my first reaction, without reading an article and actually reading just the headline, is I was a little angry. I was angry because I want to see basketball happen again. And if you quickly look at it, it almost feels like that he wants to prevent that from happening. But then I took a step back and I started to read and I started to kind of get an idea of where he's coming from. I don't entirely agree with everything that Kyrie Irving may say, because I think that you can use this opportunity right now to play basketball, to use that as an opportunity to push across the awareness and the conversation. I think that these guys have an opportunity to use their celebrity, be an influencer to many, many, many different people, use their social media, and they can use this time as an NBA basketball player to heighten the awareness and continue to get the message that needs to be kind of, you know, thrown out there because of, you know, this, everything that's going on with the social and racial, you know, unrest going on in the country. So I think basketball is a good opportunity for these guys. You know, we talked about it before, coming back and getting the season back going. They've done everything right. Now, wouldn't this just be a really great time now to go ahead and show how in tune that you are with your fan, with the world in general? And these guys use, again, their celebrity. They use their, you know, again, influence as an athlete to get their message out even further. And I don't see it as a lose-lose for them. I see it as a win for these guys.
You know, I do agree with you. I don't necessarily – I'm not resisting what Kyrie is saying. I'm not pushing against that in any way because, you know, what's going on in the country is serious and, you know but I think basketball could be a distraction, but in a kind of a good way, because I think it won't distract people from the issues, because I think the NBA has always been the leader in the clubhouse in letting their players voice their opinions and stand strong in what they believe in. And I think that this will be no different. I think down in Orlando, whether, you know, it's LeBron or Kawhi or, you know, Kemba or Jaylen Brown, I think that they will be able to use this platform. I mean, they're going to have the eyes and ears of millions and millions and millions of people. And I think that these players will use that in a great way to not only to not distract people from, you know, the issues that our country's facing now, but to amplify and bring awareness to households that maybe have kind of maybe closed their ears and their eyes and they're kind of ignoring it. Watching sports, they'll see the players, and they'll see their opinions, and they'll get you know, a little bit more awareness of it. So that's what I think, that, you know, the NBA has been great in doing so, and I don't see this NBA different. Now, what do you think about this, Derek?
Yeah, I mean, when I first saw the story, and you find out it's Kyrie, it's like you roll your eyes, because now it's the message is being affected by the messenger, right? It's, you know, if someone like Jaylen Brown had come out and with these concerns, it's like, well, okay, you know, Jaylen, you know, you've seen him out there protesting and he's been pretty in tune with the social reform and social justice causes. Whereas Kyrie, you look at his past and he's been kind of a, you know, a disruptor in everywhere he's been. He's had issues in the locker rooms with teammates. So you just think it's like, oh, he's trying to, you know, stir things up again. But then you take a second to think about it, and it's like he has valid, like, the points he's bringing up are valid concerns, and you respect his opinion and respect the fact that you want, you know, you don't want this to just go away. You know, all the protesting and the marching and all the you know, good publicity that they're bringing towards this important cause. You don't want that to just disappear by the return of basketball. But I'm on the same side as you guys in that I think this is a great opportunity for them to, you know, enhance support and enhance coverage. People are starving, especially in this country, are starving for sports. And the NBA has such a wide reach, not just in this country, but internationally. So think about, you know, how many, like, all eyes and ears are going to be on these guys. And just think about how many people they could reach, and, you know, they could get their message out and keep the conversations going. I mean, a guy like LeBron James or Jaylen Brown, you know, some of these other guys, Malcolm Brogdon, Chris Paul, you know, they're not going to, you know, all of a sudden start playing basketball and forget about these causes. You know, they're not going to, after each game, get interviewed, you know, about their performance and just talk strictly basketball. Now, I mean, it'll be a distraction in some cases, but like you said, man, it could be a good distraction, you know, a healthy distraction for people.
Well, the other part that I think is going to be, you know, where actually, before I get into that, I think, you know, for me, it's, you know, being a little more open-minded to the difference of opinions on this topic, you know, because like Derek, he said, you know, like when Kyrie Irving, you roll your eyes, like it's Kyrie again with, you know, saying whatever. I think it's, you know, let's understand why he feels that way. You know what I mean? Let's understand why he feels and uses the term, you know, in his statement, will not just shut up and play to distract us from what this whole system is about, use and abuse. You know, why would he go and say that? And I think listening to that and understanding why he feels that way. And, you know, I think that helps kind of, you know, where they can use that platform, whether it's after the game, before the game. Hell, when these games start, you know what the number one topic of conversation is going to be? It's going to be whether or not these players kneel down before the game during the anthem. And that's going to be the story. And that's going to take away from the sport being back. It's going to take away from, and not that saying it's wrong or anything, because, you know, these guys are going to, they're going to do what they think is right to continue to champion their cause. And I think that that's a good thing. You know, I just, at first when I heard it was Kyrie, I was just so like, oh, here we go, Kyrie again. But I had to go back and reread his statement. I had to reread it like literally like a ton of times and try to just think, okay, there's a reason why he says this. There's a reason why he feels this way. I'd like to just really know why. And, you know, and I may or may not agree, and that's fine. But there's a reason why these guys are saying what they're saying. And I just want to be respectful of the fact that I want to listen. And I think that they can use this time to let us listen.
That's perfectly said, Chris. I also am going to agree on something you said, Derek, is I think he's the wrong guy to lead this charge because of his kind of disruptive nature in his NBA career. And I also think that it's unfair and maybe even a little selfish of him to be asking this of other players, because he's not faced with the choice. He can't play. He's hurt. He's not going to play. So I think it's unfair for him to ask players like LeBron, who, you know, is a superstar, but he also might be at the end of his prime. He's in his mid-30s, and he's not going to have that many more runs at this. I think it's just unfair for a player who doesn't have to choose, doesn't have to be faced with this difficult decision, to post this question to players who do have this choice. And I just don't think he's the right guy to do that. And I also think that Kyrie's just kind of full of it. I do believe that he believes in what he's saying in his causes, because they matter. I mean, it's very important. And I agree with everything you said, Chris, but I just think Kyrie, he was going to go down to Orlando regardless of playing or not. And the rumor was he wanted to go down and recruit. Then on June 10th, Brian Windhorst, who co-wrote basically the blueprint of how the NBA could resume in a bubble, he said this, and I quote, "No, Kyrie, you're not going in there, because the whole point of this is to keep it to as few people as possible." So Kendrick Perkins echoed that sentiment and said that all this started when he was told he couldn't go. So I just question, like, I'm not questioning what he believes in. I'm questioning the messenger. And we saw it here in Boston. He's very disruptive. And I don't know if
he's disruptive in Cleveland too.
Right. And right. He's disruptive.
He's a malcontent to a locker room.
Right. Know? And he's disruptive in Brooklyn. He got the coach fired. I just wish it came from somebody else, 'cause I just kind of think he's full of it. But you know, I think the sentiments, like you guys have both stated, they ring true, and they're very serious. And, you know, some players are actually agreeing with him, players like Carmelo Anthony and Dwight Howard. But there are also players who are kind of, you know, everyone is sympathetic to what he's saying, because everyone, I think most people agree, you know, with what he's saying. But guys like LeBron James, Austin Rivers, and Danny Green, those are three players that'll be in the playoffs. Two of them are on that Lakers team. And like you said, Chris, there may be a divide with what they're saying, but they want to play. And they know
there was a player, Ed Davis, of the Jazz, who spoke out against what Kyrie said. You know, he spoke out You know, he called out Dwight Howard, you know, basically saying, you know, you're going to be, you know, you're not going to go to Orlando, paraphrasing, you're not going to go to Orlando, but you're going to sit at home in your $20 million mansion. You know, it's, you know, it's, I, you know, for him, he thinks it's kind of hard for a guy like Kyrie to say, hey, I'll give everything back, but what are you going to actually give back? You know what I mean? And, you know, here's a guy that's talking about how, you know, and you say they need the money, and I think you have to say that loosely because of the amount of money that these guys make. But you think about how many players don't pan out in the NBA. How many guys sign, you know, large lucrative contracts that will make $7 to $10 million that will maybe touch a basketball on the court 7 to 10 games a year? You know, these guys get paid so much money. They have the smallest roster, but make some of the biggest contracts in sports. I like the fact that there are some other players and players who are not, you know, well-known and household names that aren't afraid to challenge some of these superstars either. And I think it's healthy and I think it's good.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Kyrie also mentioned how he was not really pleased with how people are compensated in the NBA. He mentioned
that's
20 guys who are making money. Right, I agree, and I think that's Kyrie again. You know, whether his intentions are fair or not fair, whether he believes it or doesn't believe it, whatever, I just always think this is his nature, just to kind of, you know, I like to use quotes from movies. You've noticed this if you listen to our podcast. My wife and I, we actually watched Mean Girls recently. It was randomly on TV, and we watched it. It's very funny. and the meanest girl, Regina George, she's the mean girl. She's the mean girl. Someone refers to her, she goes, Regina George, she's a life ruiner. She ruins lives. And I just kind of feel that way about Kyrie. I just feel like he just likes to ruin stuff. Because to say something like that, I just feel like is not conducive to portraying the message they're trying to portray. To say, like, these guys aren't fairly compensated, I just don't agree. They make great money. And even if you're a first-year player making league minimum, you're making almost $600,000.
So ready for this? Kyrie Irving ranks 18th in the league in the NBA for his salary last season. 18th in the league, making $32 million. If your 18th most highest paid player in your sport is making $32 million, can you please show me, Kyrie, where the money, like the money's not there? Below rookie minimums start at $893K.
Yeah,
the 80th highest paid player earns $15 million. That's Clint Capella. Davis Bertans makes $7 million. He's the 160th highest paid player in the NBA.
Right. No, wow. I think you're highlighting how, you know, like Derek said, it's not necessarily the message that, you know, we're kind of like discussing here. It's the messenger that we're bringing into question.
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead. Sorry. I'm going to get on a tangent. I'm going to go all George Costanza on this in about 2 minutes.
I was just going to say one thing I think that speaks volumes about this is, you know, you've mentioned Dwight Howard has come out and kind of sided with Kyrie and Carmelo and Avery Bradley, too. But I haven't heard anybody else that's part of the NBAPA, like, you know, Chris Paul or Iguodala, Jaylen Brown, Malcolm Brogdon, CJ McCollum, all these vice presidents and presidents of the players union. I haven't heard a single one of them come out and agree with Kyrie. So, like, all these guys who were part of these negotiations and part of this planning of a, you know, return to basketball, none of them have spoken out and agreed with Kyrie. It just feels like, once again, Kyrie going against the grain. And again, it's a delicate situation because his reasoning and his concerns are legitimate. And I think there are ways that the league can resume play and still, you know, support the social justice reform that's going on. I mean, they can work things out, whether it's however much money they generate from like TV revenue and certain things like that. Maybe they designate a certain amount to go to certain charities and nonprofits that are, you know, supporting the, you know, police reform or whatever the causes may be. So I think there's a way they can have, you know, they can integrate what Kyrie is concerned about and still play basketball at the same time.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Derek. Well said. So does anyone else have any anything they want to bring up in terms of Kyrie or the rollout that we may have forgot in, earlier in the episode? Because that's – I've kind of said my piece.
No, I'm good with the Kyrie topic because, you know, I'm like – it's so difficult because, you know, if you take a stance, I don't want it to be perceived the wrong way. You know what I mean? Because it's not meant that way. I think that this money conversation is wrong because there's no basis for those comments because it's in black and white from what people are making. You know what I mean? But the other half of it, I understand and I'm willing to listen to that. But this money thing, he can go pound sand.
Yeah, I agree. Derek, any final thoughts on the NBA returning, Kyrie Irving, anything we've talked about?
I got to think with the way things have been going throughout this whole process and the type of guy that Adam Silver is and the type of league that the NBA is, I got to think they will work something out where they'll still return, you know, on the plan, like on schedule as they planned. And they'll, you know, figure out a way to continue these conversations that are being had and make sure that basketball is not a distraction for the, you know, the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean that it's definitely it's heavy. There's a lot of, you know, big picture and some meta stuff that has to be talked about. But, you know, that's I don't think Kyrie was the guy for it. And I've said that and that's that. But I think that's going to be the episode, fellas. We did it. We did it again.
Another one down.
I am super excited for some hoops. I love basketball, and I think that them coming back is going to be great. I think it's going to be great for the players. I think it's going to be great for fans. I think it's going to be great just overall for, you know, the country. So I'm super excited.
Yeah, for sure. Looking forward to it.
All right, so that's it. That's the newest episode of Above the Parquet. If you want to go ahead and check out any of the articles that we post, go to our website at bostonsportssyndicate.com. Chris writes for us. He pumps out articles for, you know, all different sports. Derek writes for us. He writes some Celtics, some Patriots stuff. You know, these guys are, you know, maybe I'm biased, but I think they're some of the best up-and-coming sports writers you're going to find out on the internet today. So go ahead and check out our stuff. We usually have a SeatGeek promotion, but we also spent half the podcast talking about how there's going to be no fans. So there's really not much to purchase on SeatGeek. Make sure you check out us on YouTube, Boston Sports Syndicate. You can see my ugly mug ranting and raving about different takes, some of the videos we post. And make sure you check out all of the Boston Sports Syndicate podcasts that come out on the Apple Podcast app. And Spotify, we do Red Sox, we do Bruins, we do obviously Celtics, we do Patriots, and we have our Mothership podcast that kind of talks about everything. So you can find that, like I said, on the Apple Podcast app and on Spotify. Take it easy, everybody. Stay safe, and go Heroes. Peace. Oh, and go Celtics. Go Celtics, sorry.
Fire Rob Manfred.
Hashtag Fire Rob Manfred. We had to get it in there. Sorry, guys. Bye.
Boston Sports Syndicate.
Music for the Boston Sports Syndicate provided by IMCDM.